guys. I'm Jess.
And I'm Heidi.
And welcome to another episode of Betty Squared. Today we are looking at chapter 133, Stag.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Stag.
Yep, that's it. I'd never heard the term stag to talk about what we will see in this episode before.
Me either. I've heard of stag night, but isn't that like
yeah.
what you do?
A men's night.
But isn't that a men's night, like, before they get married?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because in Australia, I don't think we call it a... No, we call it a bucks night. The night before you get married. Or not the night before you get married, but your last hurrah before you get married.
It's more commonly bachelor party here and not stag night. I feel like that's British, but I don't know.
I'm not sure either. Like I said, in Australia, for guys, it's called Bucks Night. And for girls, it's called a Hens Night.
I've heard the Hens Night. Yeah.
Yeah. And then here, it's just bachelor and bachelorette party, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty yeah.
Basic.
But yeah, I'd never heard of these types of films being called stag.
No, me either. So that was new.
Which I wonder if it is related to the fact that, like, you know, the first film that they go to watch before Betty interrupts is called, like, The Wedding Night. So that would be, like, I guess, kind of like your stag night, even though you just got married. Like, it's all sort of related, but
yeah
interesting. Anyway, it's a stag film, commonly known as porno or pornographic material.
It is a porn flick.
A porn flick in this day and age. Do you want to start with the film or do you want to just go chronologically? Because I got some issues with both.
Well, I anticipated that you would have thoughts on this episode for sure. we can do whatever we want. This is our show.
Okay, let's go chronologically and then we can talk about the film / films when they come up. My first note on this whole episode is I feel like, and just in general, I feel like Tony and Cheryl are asking to be caught in their relationship.
Yeah, yeah. My first note is everybody's playing pretty fast and loose this episode. Like, and we've talked about that before, like they're not very actively good at hiding anything. Like,
no.
Like any of the folks who are queer in this show are like, and I was thinking the same thing with Clay, like in his little writer's workshop with Miss Grundy and stuff like that, like still not really hiding that he has this proclivity and interest in the queer world. But yeah, and, you know, saying like asking for it has negative connotations, but it's like you're not protecting yourself. Like you are not actively protecting yourself in any way.
No, and so my note is basically like Rizzo or whatever that girl's name is brings a lesbian skinny mag to school.
Yeah.
That happens. Kids get in trouble all the time for bringing like illicit material or whatever to school. But then Cheryl and Tony just sit there flicking through it at school. And I'm like, y'all are asking, like, Werther's, we've seen him. He is on Werther's, whatever his name is. He is on a warpath. Like, why are you being so out and open with all of this stuff? Also, let's not forget, this is 1955. These kinds of conversations would not be happening.
Not in this way. No, no, no.
And that's the thing. Yeah. I feel like the show has failed to tell us whether we're meant to, like, suspend disbelief and keep this still as like a 1955 but sort of also modernistic kind of show, or like what are we doing? Are we going one way? Are we going the other way? Because a combination of two just kind of doesn't work, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, but it's just weird all around.
Yeah, they're just everybody that is in a same-sex relationship or part of the LGBTQ plus community in this era, in this show, are not covering their tracks at all, as, you know, we later see with Cheryl's storyline. But they're asking to be caught.
Yeah, it's, and then like, and they do it throughout, right? They do it with the mag. They do it later when they have their own boudoir pictures, which they took right. in Cheryl's house, and then she leaves her portrait of them out
right.
in their house. They review the pictures together at that same table. That table is not like going to, it's not in a bubble, like there are people all around you. Like, it would take one moment of Evelyn seeing them to bring the teachers out and take and confiscate that, and then they'd be in a huge amount of trouble. Luckily that didn't happen, but yeah, fast and loose.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. And first of all, they do the photo shoot in like on Cheryl's property. And her excuse is nobody ever goes into the chapel. Okay, cool. But like, you're still on your parents' property. Like, you're gonna get caught. And then she just leaves the painting there and the photos.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, just because they never go there doesn't mean they won't.
Right.
Like, put a cloth over it at least.
Well, it's an oil painting, and oil paintings take a very long time to dry, so it needs to air.
I see.
Yes, you know, because we're sticking so close to actual reality.
Turn it away from the door.
Freaking girl, hide it underneath your bed. No one's going underneath your bed.
Yeah, although taking it into the house is also dangerous, but God, there's just no sense of self, like self-preservation. No.
And, you know, I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying they should hide this. I don't think they should. But we know that in 1955, it was very unsafe. Right. It was unsafe. I mean, look at Midge, a heterosexual woman who had premarital sex, who fell pregnant, who then ended up in a home for wayward girls controlled by nuns. What do you think they're going to do to Cheryl if they find out she's gay?
Yeah.
Yep. They're not using their brains, but here we are. Nope. Here we are.
Here we are. My next note, and it kind of happens throughout again, like with the same sort of thing with them playing fast and loose this episode across, you know, all different parts of the episode. Something I noticed this episode is that Veronica keeps calling Betty her gal pal.
Yes. Yes, she does. Because I guess because of the weird, like, sexual chemistry, but then it's like gone this episode.
Yeah.
Maybe gal pal, because they're not quite gay, but they're like soulmates.
Oh, cute. I like that you're saying that they're soulmates. I agree.
I think they are. I think this closeness that they've been exploring between the two, we've sort of seen it's a little sexual, but not really. It's just kind of an intense chemistry that they both have. I think it's more of like a soulmate kind of path versus a romantic kind of relationship.
Yeah, that's definitely at least this episode what it felt like. And the thing that made me laugh about Gal Pal was that when in modern queer circles, if you look back at famously single people, a lot of the time it's because they were queer. And like, people will write, like, I can't think of any examples right now, but there are so many, but they'll write like, oh, he and his dearest friend.
Yes. Like,
yes, she yes, and yes. her lifelong mate who she lived with for her until she died. Like, and the gal pal is like the joke term in modern queer, you know, times of like, oh yeah, her gal pal, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So
I remember, and oh gosh, I wish I remember what TV show it was. There was a TV show in Australia. It was either a cooking show or some kind of building show. That's how well my memory is working right now. Where there are these two girls who were competing on the show, and it described them as best friends. The show ended, and then they came out as a couple. And everyone was kind of like, why didn't you guys just say you were a couple? Like, no one really cares. But they were so afraid that their unconventional, at the time, relationship would be so ill-conceived. But everyone was like, oh, they're lesbians? Great. Nobody cares. Which... I wish the rest of the world would see, because it's nobody's business what anybody does, you know, or who anyone does. Giggity,
That's very much this episode.
it
Very
was
much this episode.
a horny episode. It sure was. Speaking of horny, and I'm not sure you can answer this for me as a woman, I
Okay.
think I need to ask like a white bread American man, because I feel like this is a stereotypical thing that maybe these types of men do. Is it common to watch pornography with your dude friends?
Okay.
Can you
I have
answer
an
this for
answer for
me?
you.
Oh my
I
gosh, you can.
can.
Okay, great.
So one, especially with a group of men, I would say yes, it's pretty normal, especially like young men.
Why?
I can also say that I did this, me and my friends did this as teenagers. We would like so my friend's parents were never home. We would hang out at his house, and it would be guys and girls, and we would eventually like we'd watch a movie or whatever, and then we'd eventually get to like stupid like Skinamax movies that are like softcore porn, like
Okay.
where you're not actually seeing like penetration, but it, like they're dressed up as pirates and it's like sexy. And like the thing about it, because you're teenagers and you're like not actively doing those, at least we weren't it we weren't it I don't know what that word is. At least we weren't doing things like that in our little nerdy group. Because you're like not doing it yet, and but you're so curious, and like it's funny, and then at a certain point it does get sexy, and you're just all sitting there like, okay, here we are. And there is like a the I don't know I don't know how to describe it. It's You're not all sitting there masturbating or anything like that. At
That's what I
least me and my
mean.
friends weren't.
Isn't that the purpose of watching porn to masturbate? You're not watching it because you're watching it for the storyline.
No, but you are. But when it comes to like being a young person, at least with my group of friends and my experience, it was just like curiosity. And also that like sort of like save it in the mind bank for later, like kind of thing as well. Yeah, it was just pure curiosity, and like, and it looking back at it is weird, but like we did
So
it.
weird. It's so weird. Okay,
Yeah.
so in Australia, we have, I don't know if they've still got it, because again, I haven't lived there for almost a decade, but there used to be this huge convention called Sexpo, and they would have porn stars from all over the world, sex toys, lingerie, health services, amateur shows, peep shows, like everything to do with the sex industry you could find at Sexpo. And so when you're 18, you're allowed to go, and everybody does because it's so scandalous, you know.
Yes.
And I think I went 1 year with my best friend, and we like laughed so fucking much. Like we giggled like
Yeah.
we were 3 years old. And then want to say the following year, maybe I went with my boyfriend because I was a little bit older, you know, we were starting to be intimate and stuff like that. I remember as part of your ticket, you got a free porno. And what they would do is you'd go there and they'd give you a code. So you'd get the DVD because, you know, this was the early 2000s.
I was
You
going to
get
say, is this a VHS? Is this a DVD? How are
the
you getting the porno?
it was a DVD, and then you, as you were leaving, you'd get the code to unlock the DVD, because it was a way of like making sure everybody was over 18 and couldn't access, you know, what
Yeah.
you know, if a kid accidentally put in the DVD into the DVD player, they couldn't see anything they wouldn't supposed to see because they didn't have the
Smart.
code to unlock it. Yeah, it was very smart. Australia is very regulated, even when it comes to the sex industry as well. So they're always, you know, well, I shouldn't say always because not everybody is, but 9 times out of 10 they're very, you know, above the board. And I remember we got home. This was the first year that I went, my best friend and I, and we laughed our asses off. And I was like, do we put this in? Like, should we watch this? And then we watched about 5 minutes and it got sexy. And I was like, no, I'm not watching this with you. She's like, nope, I'm good. So we turned it off. And then I remember like a week later, she called me and she's like, oh my God, I watched the rest of it. You see everything. Like it was like the first real time we had really been exposed to anything like that. And I was like, oh my God, really? She's like, yeah, it was great. I was like, ew. Because
Oh my God.
little did I know at the time that I would end up being asexual and that stuff not doing anything for me. But at the time, I was just like, ew, gross. This is so nasty. And then, like, as an adult, I'm like, oh, this is why this stuff doesn't work for me. But it was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. Yeah.
No,
But again, like watching porn with friends is that's I don't know. Again, I don't know whether it's because I'm coming from like an asexual mindset or
Sure.
if it's just like weird.
No, I think it's really natural, honestly, to be curious. And it's so funny because we're both asexual
Yeah.
and you're more a sex averse, from just, what we talked about and things like that. And I'm very sex curious, like with
Right.
my like it doesn't necessarily work for me like all the time and things like that, but like I've always been very curious about sex. I've always been like looking into the education side of it. I taught my friend, and I've never done anal, but I taught my friend how to do anal, not physically, but I talked to her through about it. And then later when she had anal, she told me she thought of me, and it was such an honor. Is this too much? But that's all to say, there's many ways to think about it. And I think in general, it's just young people being curious. I think it's the curiosity more than the horniness a little bit, but like I think it's the curiosity, so much of it is that. And it's a safer and in a way it's a safer environment to watch it with your friends, because I feel like there is, because there's so much stigma about sex and about porn and about things like that, that like looking up a porn by yourself and watching them by yourself when you're a teenager or older, not that you should necessarily be watching porn when you're a kid, but the curiosity is there, so it does happen, whatever.
Right.
It can be really scary, and it could be really a shameful experience. So watching it with your peers, there is kind of a level of like, hey, we're all curious about this. It is kind of a community situation too. But that's not to say that it isn't a little weird also, and that it's funny.
I would love to hear like a psychologist's thoughts
Yeah.
or like a psychotherapist's thoughts on this because it's again, it's a really curious thing.
Yeah.
How comfortable they were sitting in a room, and then Veronica and Betty also wanting to be there,
Yeah.
in a room full of dudes, like so strange. But anyway, yeah. Wow. Well, this episode officially got its mature audience rating.
It probably regrets later on for me to disclose how much I've disclosed, but whatever. I'm an open book. Who cares?
Oh gosh. But yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. And
Do you want
can
to get to the poly
what
of it all?
oh, girl, it's like you read my mind. Because my next note is all great, Polly is back. And
Yep.
you know how much I have not been able to stand her the entire 7 seasons of Riverdale. I didn't hate her this episode. I didn't. And I could also give, like, I can understand they're bringing back all the people that made appearances on the show. And I think that's really nice. So I could understand that this officially is the last time I'll ever see her.
Yeah,
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. You
probably.
never know. But I liked her storyline. I don't know whether. From the performance we saw, that I believe she's this like renowned burlesque dancer, but I don't think it was about that. I think it was about Betty seeing herself in her sister's shoes, and that freedom and all of that. But I liked that she was kind of estranged from the family, but then, you know, we see Alice going through her box of all Polly's like posters, and there were tickets there. So obviously, her mom has secretly been sneaking off to see her do what she's been doing and following her career, but acting like it's shameful. Yeah, it was okay.
I thought she was okay this episode. The performance was, when she was doing it, was bad. Great when it was Betty.
Yes, agreed. I thought she did a great job too.
And it's true, the part where she talks about, like, it's more about, like, what people are thinking around the performance versus how much clothes you actually take off. But, like, even with that, like, you took off two gloves and that was it. Like you
You
got,
usually go down to at least like a bustier and
yeah.
underpants and stockings and things. I have friends who do burlesque
Yeah.
who do not take anything off. Well, they take things off, but they don't go nude.
No.
And it's very tasteful. It is a true art form. It's beautiful to watch.
Absolutely.
But
It's got to be a little more than a gown.
yeah, what she did was not really burlesque.
No, it wasn't. Which is a bummer because we've seen more, like when Betty did the striptease. Like they've
Oh, when
done.
she was like joining the serpents. God, that was so uncomfortable to watch.
I want to go back and I feel like I need to go back and rewatch at least like the first three seasons of Riverdale, to get my mind back to that place, to remember the good old days. But yeah, so that was interesting. But I did think overall Polly was pretty good this episode too. I've never been like as averse to her, but you know, I also thought that she looked really great in the 1950s, like get up and the way she was styled was great and her hair. I also thought she
With
looked so.
the exception of her first outfit when she's in Pops,
You didn't like that?
it was crushed. I don't know if you noticed, it was all wrinkly. And then she had what I'm assuming is like if you took the jacket off, there would be a shirt with a bow. And what had happened was because the jacket was done up, the bow was kind of squished and it looked like fabric was not sitting right. But all around her bust, all around her waist, it was all crushed. Looked awful.
Oh, I was just thinking of the silhouette, of it more than, but I mean, maybe it's because she was traveling all day. Maybe it's realistic. No, it's just bad.
So, I have a question for you about the Babylonian. Does that
Okay.
cinema ever actually run any movies?
Only when it makes sense for the plot.
Okay, because like it is used as everything but a cinema, really. Like, if I wanted to go and see the Barbie movie tomorrow, I guarantee you it's not playing it. A, because it's 1955 and it shouldn't be. But
Sure.
B, because like she's always watching like her SAG films, or she's putting on a burlesque performance, or they're doing something where they're the dead high school students for Halloween
Yeah.
and they're dancing and all making out with each other. Like, how is she making money?
She's probably not, to be fair. But does she need to
Okay.
be? I don't think so.
Probably not. Probably not. Oh, God.
My next note, I just want to give a shout out to Betty's nightgown when she calls Polly up. After they start to see her movie, she's got this
Yeah.
beautiful chiffon-y floor length nightgown and a little house coat over it, and I just thought it was so cute.
It was really adorable.
I love it.
I used to sleep. Do you guys call them nightgowns or do you call them nighties?
Both.
Okay, because in Australia they're specifically nighties. Also, don't know why I just said Australia. Australia.
It's called an accent.
Right, but like it's not Australia. Anyway, I think because I was like trying to get to my thought quickly, I
Meddles.
weirdly did some combination of Australian and American and was very confused. We call them 90s in Australia. And I stopped sleeping in 90s. I used to love them because it made me feel like a princess, especially when I was little. But I stopped sleeping in them because you get into bed and then they all come up around your neck and then your butt's just hanging out.
You
I
get Winnie
mean,
the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh? Oh, because you've got no
T-shirt, no
pants on?
bottoms. Yeah.
That is so stinking cute. I love that. Yeah. And so, we've seen Veronica in some really beautiful night attire as well, now Betty. And I'm just like, girl, it's going to take you 20 minutes to get into bed
Yeah.
to make sure that thing is not up around your neck.
But then, if they're not up around your neck and they're around your legs, if you're a toss and turner like me, who's just flipping all over the bed during the night, you're gonna get all tangled up. It's bad enough to get tangled up in the sheets. It's so, I can't do, as I agree, I would love to be like, just like beautiful when I go to bed and wearing a long nightgown that's like chiffon-y and lovely, but I can't do it because I'm gonna get all tangled up. Also, I want to, we can call them 90s. For me, and maybe this is a me thing, I don't know if it's an American thing in general, when I think of 90s, more often I'm thinking of like sexy 90s, like little sexy 90s is what I think of.
Got it. Got it. So it's really funny because if you're talking about like lingerie, underpants, we call them undies in Australia. Panties are something that are very sexy. So when I moved
Oh.
to the States and I went to Victoria's Secret, they're like 5 for 10 panties. I was like, and even now when somebody's like, I can't find my panties, or like, I just bought some new panties, I'm like, that's too sexy for me. And they're like, what? They're just like cotton briefs. And I'm like, then they're undies. Like, call them
They're
undies.
not panties. I don't like the
They're
word
not panties.
panties in general, so I don't like that
No,
word. Don't know
I
why.
don't either. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Ugh. What did you think of Polly's burlesque name? Polyamorous.
I hated it. It made me want to punch her in the face.
It's pretty bad. Could do better, honestly. It's not great.
I mean, they're obviously playing off of polyamory and all of that, and it works for burlesque, but I hated it. And then I hated that Veronica was like, "Oh my gosh, hold the phone, the polyamorous." I was like, "Girl, you sound like a dickhead. Like, stop."
Shut up.
Also, we had another modernization when Betty reveals that Polly is like a burlesque dancer and whatever. And Veronica's like, burlesque is like a serious, true art form. Like it's so incredible. And look at all these wonderful people who do it. And I'm like, girl, 1955, burlesque would have been seen as dirty.
Yeah.
Stop trying to justify it like you're in the modern day and age where it's accepted.
Well, and I was thinking about it too, that it's funny that the like backstory or the or ha what Alice uses to like make it seem like Polly's not off doing something scandalous is that she says that she's a dancer on Broadway. Even that would probably not be,
Scandalous.
yeah, it would be scandalous too. Being an actor in
Yeah.
general or an actress in general before more modern times was scandalous. Being a dancer,
Yeah.
Broadway was not like a super safe place for until
It was
Disney
not.
bought it out. Yeah, so it would have still been pretty scandalous regardless. So don't know if it's
They haven't
dropping.
really done their research.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, I don't know if it's like willful ignorance, where like we're just gonna throw in these modern sort of takes because it's Riverdale and we can do whatever we want, or if it's actual ignorance and not understanding those pretty basic things.
Well, again, I go back to the fact that we are not the demographic for Riverdale. The
Sure.
demographic is probably, well, I'm not, because I know I've got years on you, but
No, I mean,
like,
I'm in my 30s
we're
now.
close-ish. Yeah, we're close-ish in age, but there's still, a significant age difference. But
Yeah.
I think this is more geared towards your tweens, your teens, very young adults.
Yeah.
And so they're not necessarily gonna know that
No.
Times Square was one of the most dangerous places in New York City back in the day, and that, they legally have to leave those billboards on 24/7 because it's a light source to stop crime. You know what I mean? They don't
Yeah.
know that stuff, and they don't know that Broadway is is a little scandalous. If you, and it's been years since I've watched it, but if you watch the remake of King Kong, the Peter Jackson one, Naomi Watts is the lead in that, and she loses her job and she goes to like an audition on Broadway because she's a dancer, and it turns out to be really salacious and stuff like that. And she's kind of like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. And then she, the movie goes from there. But yeah, being a dancer specifically on Broadway would not have been a well thought of career.
No, you
So
might as well
it's
say you're a
interesting.
can-can dancer. Like,
Right.
it's gonna be pretty salacious. Even if you're like in Oklahoma. Like,
Yeah.
still.
Yeah, so interesting because it's basically saying she's a chorus girl. And yeah, that had certain connotations back in the day as well. So interesting. But yeah, I genuinely think that they're like, it doesn't matter. We don't have to stick true to history because these kids aren't going to know. And if they do know, then, they're going to be like, well, it's Riverdale. It's a TV show. It's made up.
Totally. One other thing on Polly, I felt like, and I don't know if it's because of the all of the cast growing up a little bit, since we first saw them, or if it's because of the way that she was styled specifically in this episode, but I was like, man, she looks so much like Madchen. Like, I really felt like I was like, that's young Madchen. Like, she looks so much like her.
Really? I would say I didn't see that, but I would say it's like in hindsight, looking back and all of that, I would say it's probably the styling. Her
Probably.
hair was styled the same way. But yeah, I didn't see that.
Also,
Interesting.
just cute sisters, like when they were across the table from each other and like Betty reaches over and I was just like, I see myself and my sister in them a lot, so it's cute.
I was a little bit surprised though that she hasn't spoken to her sister in years. And then all of a sudden, it's like nothing has ever changed. And she's asking her to be the maid of honor and things like that for her wedding. But they haven't spoken in a couple of years. So why is there still this? I don't know. I don't
Because
know.
that's how it
It.
is. That's how.
I don't have a sister, so yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It is how it is. Like, there's. I can't talk about it too much because I'll cry, because I love my sister so much.
Oh.
But like, yeah, that's just how it is. I mean, there's you grew up with each other. There's something about being a sister with someone. It's just a different relationship. Like, it's not like anything else. And you can,
Okay.
like, growing up, we weren't always close with each other. Like, we fought, like pinching, kicking, you're stealing my clothes, bad fighting sometimes, but even through, that, it's just a relationship. I've never, she's one of the few people in my life who I've known my whole life. Who's seen me through so many things. So I could imagine for sure, like there being, if there was a situation, God forbid, where I didn't talk to my sister for years, I can't imagine it would be too different getting to see them. And even thinking of like close female friendships, like a best friend that I had for a long time and we had a falling out and it was really horrible. And then we saw each other again at a mutual friend's wedding, even with all the baggage and stuff like that. Like, no time had passed. None at all.
Yeah, I mean, I have friends like that. I've got three friends that I'm very close to in Australia. Can't tell you the last time I talked to any of them. But anytime we pick up the phone, it's the same. I think I'm just the
The maid of
reason
honor.
that this, yeah, and it was like there was so much that Betty didn't know about Polly's life, and there was a disconnect. So for her to just come out and be like, I would love you to be my maid of honor, I was like, I'm not sure that's justified. I need to know like a little bit more. But again, you have a 45-minute, 50-minute show, 60 minutes with commercials. They can only fit in so much.
Yeah,
And I'm
totally.
probably the minority on that. Most people would have been like, oh, okay, cool, maid of honor, great. But I needed a little bit
I
more.
see that. I totally see that. it's the other aspect of like no time has passed, like that makes total sense. But I totally hear you on the, like, I wasn't even my sister's maid of honor, like, because I was not responsible enough to be, so it was her best friend, which was a better choice because she's now my sister-in-law anyway, so we're all sisters.
Perfect. I love that. My next note, and this was after, so this is jumping forward a little bit. Reggie and Archie have gone to the Stag Night film where the film was stopped. Then they got a film from Julian, which was a wrestling, definitely homoerotic film.
Yeah.
And then they get the actual, film.
Yes.
And they're starting to watch it again together because apparently that's not a weird thing to do for dudes to do. And it burns.
Yeah.
Then they're talking in their bedroom about like the Beats and how like these poets used to like all have sex with each other and just experience, you know, free love and all of that. And I had this moment where I was like, oh my God, are Archie and Reggie about to hook up?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I do not know how I feel about this. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Is this like about like what I'm about to see? And then obviously they go to Twyla, who,
I mean, they kissed about herself though. They had a three-way. They totally kissed.
They definitely saw each other as like meat and two veg, which like
what? Meat and two veg?
It's very British. It's okay. Very British to say that. Meat is the penis, and two veg are like two potatoes. So they're the testes.
Got it.
Yeah, meat and two veg, or bangers and mash.
Okay, that makes, yeah, I get it. Okay.
Sausage and potatoes.
Yep.
Yeah, it just, I don't know whether that was Reggie's first time, but you know it's Archie's first time. And to have a first time as sexually explicit as what he went through, wow.
Well, better or worse than with your teacher?
Definitely better.
Yeah.
Because, well, I mean,
still with an older woman.
Still with an older woman. It's still statutory rape, but at least it's not a person in position of power that manipulated the situation to get what she wanted.
Absolutely. And it was with someone who he very much trusted, which was Reggie. Like, he was there too. There's no way that they did not interact sexually in that meeting. There's
because I thought about it more than I care to mention, actually. But I was like, oh, God, could I go and do that with a friend of mine that's just, like, a friend and not, like, a romantic interest? And the answer for me is 100% no.
Yeah.
Because if I was going to have a three-way, asexual, kind of can't be bothered with any kind of sex anyway.
Yeah.
It would not be with a friend. The third person would have to be a stranger that I would never see again.
Yeah. I feel like that is very, very commonly what folks look for in a third, if they are. But maybe this is a conversation for later. We do have a mutual friend who did have a three-way with his girlfriend and another mutual friend of ours and his. And we can talk about it later. But so it does happen.
What?
Yeah. We'll talk about who it was later. But so it does happen. And I think there's an aspect of it.
In our friend group that had a three-way, but that nobody was dating. It was just a hookup.
Well, friend group is like people we worked with. I'll say more than like close friend group.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
But
we to finish this episode right now.
You know all parties, or two parties. So there is an aspect of that where it's like you have someone that you, but there's no way with the way that they were looking at each other, like the whole episode, and the curiosity that Archie definitely had about like exploring sexuality with another man from like learning about the Beat Poets and all that stuff. No way that they didn't have some sort of, even a kiss. There's no way that they didn't. And then, okay, just to talk about them overall. So funny, this episode. Their relationship, their friendship is so fun. I love
it
so much.
Yes, I really like it.
I love it
so much.
I
really like it too.
Like, when they go to Julian and, like, want to get their money back. And then Julian turns around to his locker and he's like, I have another film I can give you. And they're like hitting each other like, yes, yes, yes. Like so excited. They're so funny and they're so cute. And then at the end, when they're watching the sun come up, and again, like Archie and Reggie just went through something extremely intimate with each other, and then had another intimate moment where they watched the sun come up, which Miss Grundy talked about in a pretty intimate manner that she does with her husband, not saying that she does it sexually with her husband, but like that it's an intimate thing and it's life affirming and whatever. They have that moment too that's intimate with each other. And then Archie says, and it's not sexual, it's not like I want to be with you or romantic or anything, it's strictly platonic. Like Archie says, I love you to Reggie, and Reggie says, I love you too, man. And it's so sweet. I just I love them. I love them so much.
Yeah, what a gift do too.
This season, yeah, is the two of them.
I mean, also we're seeing just a totally different Reggie. You know, gone are the days where he was a dick.
Yeah.
And they've got a great little bromance going on, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I love them. I love them so much. I have another note about Betty. I thought her dress that she wore when she talks to her mom and invites her mom to go see the show, it's like a colorful blue dress.
It was kind of like a florally kind of something.
Yeah, beautiful. I loved it. I just loved that dress. I thought it was so gorgeous on her, and it fit immaculately on her as well.
I actually think it was too tight for her.
No, I liked it. See, I liked
it. Really? It was tight.
I don't know.
It looked uncomfortable. It looked like it was too tight around her, like, midsection. Mm. And not that she's, you know, big or curvy or anything like that, but it looked sort of puckered.
Mm. I didn't see the pucker. I liked that it was fitted. I don't know. I thought that dress was cute. I thought the cut of it was nice as well, the way that it fell on her shoulders. I don't always love, like, it wasn't a cap sleeve, but the way that it, like,
no,
the cut of it, on the cut of the dress was very lovely. I liked that.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. I also thought that she was, in the portions of the burlesque show where it was Betty, were so much better than Polly's version. Like, she was so good. And I just love watching, I mean, obviously we love Lily, and I love watching her perform. I think it would be interesting to see her get to do more burlesque and, like, genuine burlesque. I would love to see that so much from Betty. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I just loved. What did you think about the that song is I think it's called Everything's Coming Up Roses from Gypsy.
Yeah, musical. It's from Gypsy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did you think of it cutting to the singing Alice? From Alice? Her being a part of the song.
I mean, it makes sense because that is how it's done in Gypsy.
Yeah.
It also gave a little explanation as to the fact that Alice hasn't given up on Polly and Alice has been following her career the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't think it could have been done in any other way other than the way it was done by bringing her into the song. I didn't give it too much thought. There was one thing that I did find very jarring when it did cut to her. They had, and again, this is because I've worked in the film industry in a practical sense as well as a performance sense, but they did a weird thing with practical lights in the scene that I didn't enjoy, where if you go back and you watch it again, when that scene, when it cuts to Alice, they have two very hot lamps that are placed in the back windows of the house that kind of give that, like, she's on stage look. But for me, it just made it look like she was sitting in a set.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. But again, I know I'm a minority for that because I work in the film industry.
No, I didn't even, I wasn't paying too close of attention, but I totally agree with you that when it does switch to her, I think I didn't love it because it was jarring. And I feel like they could have done it where she wasn't singing and it was just instrumental of the same part.
And I think I
would have liked that more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that is a a great observation.
Because if they just played you still get the, like, the music is still that, dun, 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 like, that still is, like, it would still give you the emotion of the moment without her singing it, like, if they played just that instrumentally. I don't know.
Yeah, I think what they did was they just went with the fact that that's how it's done in Gypsy.
Yeah, yeah. And Riverdale. We don't always agree with their choices. We very rarely agree with their choices.
Nope.
I should amend. I am curious. My last couple, I have two last notes. Because I have to talk about the last part because my notes are so funny. Or at least I think I'm funny. Talking about Cheryl at the end, her parents obviously find out. They don't immediately punish her or anything, which I thought was surprising.
About finding out she's a lesbian?
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
No, and I think that was to prove that, like, they have the power.
Yeah, that's true.
Something is coming.
Yes, that's a good point. Very different from the last time where they sent her off and ship her off, but I'm glad they're not rehashing things we've seen before. But I have no idea what Cheryl's planning. She goes to Tony and is like, do you have the negatives? What do you think she's going to do?
I think she's going to post her photos in that magazine.
In the magazine? But, like,
yeah,
we can assume that it's not a magazine that they have, like, that they would read anyway. So, like, what's the...
I don't know. It's Riverdale and nothing ever makes sense.
Damn if that's true. Yeah. Well, we'll see. That makes the most sense. But I was like, could there be something else? But who knows? Do you have any...
Who knows indeed.
Because my last note is about the very end of the episode. So do you have any last notes? Anything else?
Sure do. So obviously, we haven't talked about Jughead. And there's not really much to discuss other than what happens at the end. But I did think it was very strange that a nun, a school therapist, and the school principal...
And the mayor.
And the mayor... have the ability to dictate what go into comics.
And what's published. That was strange.
Yes, and what's published. I thought that was very strange.
Yeah.
Because that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Veronica and Jughead again.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's just like knit about it.
I will say the last scene where they're sitting on the couch and then they're just doing these like intense like head like crops of their faces like back and forth.
Yeah,
it felt like a very long scene of like it was
filled it out.
It felt so ridiculously long. I was like, I know they're gonna kiss, just have them kiss. It was so weird. But my last notes, I feel the same. Like it's I'm mid about it. I don't really have I'm interested to see like we talked about before, it felt like it was cut off too short and that they didn't get to really explore that relationship. So if that happens, I'm excited. I don't really have much faith that it will do that they'll I think it's gonna get cut short again, but who knows. But my last note, I said as they start kissing, I was like, oh no, because Betty just like had that huge, which we didn't talk about actually, had that huge blowout with her mom, and then her mom slaps her, and Betty was like dark Betty in that, like that was dark Betty.
She was
I loved, and she was like, I what did she say?
I'm surprised to do that.
It took you this long to do that. So wild. But she was just slapped by her mother. And then we cut to the scene with Jughead and Veronica where they start kissing. And I was like, oh my gosh, Betty's going to walk in. and then it immediately cut.
I didn't think that. I was just like, oh, here we go again. Drama, drama, drama.
But then it immediately cut and the episode ended. I was like, oh, never mind. Like it was that quick. It was like, oh my god, she's gonna walk in. No, she's not.
Never mind. Nope, it's the end of the episode.
The episode's over.
Maybe she's on her way over there.
Hopefully not. I'd rather not. But yeah, that was just that was how the episode ended for me, and it was very funny, in the moment. But yeah, what a time!
What a time indeed. Well, they're really Gotten it close. We're almost done.
Yeah, that's
We're
weird.
almost done, and we're still getting more and more storylines. More and more things are happening. Everyone's saying they've got to do these things, but like, when are they going to happen?
Honestly, if we keep getting this like just chef's kiss, beautiful Archie Reggie stuff, I'll be fine. However it goes. I just like their bromance. I
I
want
do too.
bros.
That sigh was just like, how are they gonna finish this show? Not
Yeah.
about what you were saying. It's
No.
just, it's a time. It's a time in a thing, in a place. And we're gonna look back on this and go, why did we commit so much of our precious, precious time? Oh God.
Because
Anyway.
friendship, that's what I say.
Because friendship, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how are we going to rate this episode?
That's a really good question.
Like, I was going to say we could rate it like based on pornos, but I'm
I don't really.
relatively
I
inexperienced.
don't. And I wouldn't be able to give you like a name of a porno.
No, me either. Me. What about if we like made up a porn to describe this episode?
Okay.
Okay, let me see if I can pull something out of my ass here. Okay, it is porno about two dudes who discover they're more than just friends
Oh.
and then have a dirty three-way.
What's it called?
Well, okay, yeah, because I don't know if I could describe it because I'm basically describing the episode.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Yeah, I think name.
Here we go. Any hole is a goal.
Whoa! I was not expecting that. That was a good one. Oh my goodness.
Any hole's a goal because they're all horny,
They
and
play
I feel like
basketball.
anybody, they play basketball, so you know,
Not
you
that
got the
those are
goals of
goals,
the hole.
but you know.
They're holes. Holes are goals.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
But like everybody is just
Corny.
down to do the dirty, and I don't think they very much care with who.
Yeah. The title that came to mind, since we talked about the beat poets a lot, is The Beat Off.
You could have called it Beat It, and it could have had like the
Beat it.
killer Michael Jackson song.
No, it's
I'm just
gotta be the
sorry.
beat off.
The beat off, okay.
Because we all know why it has to be the beat off. I guess the question is too, since that's not really a great marker of how much we enjoyed the
It's
episode.
not. No.
Did you like it? The
The
episode?
episode, yeah, it was okay. Again, there were some really great things about it. The Reggie and Archie storyline just really cracked me up.
Yeah.
Everything else was a bit meh, but you know, I'm sure it's going to be important. Based on why are you laughing?
Keep going. I'll tell you.
No, I can't now. You've stopped my train of thought.
I'm sorry. I was gonna say, yeah, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it a lot. I don't think it brought me to a climax, but it was pretty
There you go. There you go. We rate this episode like a B plus
Yeah.
without the climax at the
Yeah.
end.
Don't think it finished the job, but it did a pretty good one, you know?
It got it started.
But
It
it
got
got
it
it started.
started.
Oh my God.
Oh God. And what would Betty do this episode?
Betty, this episode would, you know, continue to be curious about sexual things. She would find out a secret about her sister that leads her to reconnect with her sister in a very strong way. She would be inspired by her older sister to use her sexual desires and interests in a way that is also artistic and feels good for her. She would confront her. She did a lot. She would confront her mom, and really lay down the law and like be pretty savage with her in a great way. Unfortunately, get slapped, but really lay down the law and express herself fully to her mother. So that's what Betty did.
Indeed. All right, friends. Well, on that note, we'll love you and leave you. Many happy climaxes to you.
This episode is off the wall.
It is. And we'll catch you next time for another episode of Betty Squared. Bye. Bye.